Let's turn to 2 John. 2 John, there's only one chapter, so we're going to finish it today. Praise God. 2 John. The elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also who know the truth, for the sake of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. And now I ask you, lady, not as writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves, that you might not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. Having many things to write to you, I do not want you to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face that your joy may be made full. The children of your chosen sister greet you. Amen. There are a couple of different views of the second epistle of John. The one view, because obviously it says to the elder of to the chosen lady. The elder is obviously talking about John, the elder, and he would have taken that role. Notice he moves from the apostle of love and he becomes an elder, but that happens as he moves to Ephesus and happens towards later into his life. And you know, church history tells us that he was the elder in the church of Ephesus. And then the next part there, he says to the chosen lady. Now, there's a couple of different viewpoints on this. Some think that the lady is referring to the church. And there are a few instances in John's writings where he does refer to that, but most likely he's talking to a specific lady, and I'll get into the context here. Most likely she was one of the leaders, and most likely the church, probably a little bit outside of Ephesus, met in her house. And so this would be a word to her. She was basically the leader of this particular church or this particular body here. She had sons or children, and they would seem to have visited Ephesus. How this relationship kind of comes together is the end. He says, the children of your chosen sister greet you. Most scholars believe that this is the lady's sister who passed away some time ago. And so her cousins this lady, chosen lady, her kids would go visit their cousins in Ephesus, and that's kind of how this whole relationship kind of comes together. So as they visit, John meets them, and he says, oh, it's a good thing your children are walking in the Lord. Praise God. And so the relationship is built in this way, and so John feels a need to write to this lady primarily on the issue of heresy. So again, John is trying to correct something that's going on in the church. And there's a lot of people that are moving around, going about, and sharing false doctrine in the church. There's a particular passage here in verse 11 that draws from this. It says, for the one who does give him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. Before that, he says, if anyone comes to you and they don't have this teaching, basically of what the church fathers have shared, says, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. Now, in our day and age, a greeting is, you know, oh, hi, Tracy, how are you? We greet each other, hello. That's not really what they're talking about. In this context, if you think of these church, a greeting is another way of really saying endorsing. And it would be like someone comes and we receive him into our home. Remember, the whole Middle Eastern idea of hospitality is quite different than ours. It's very lavish. They talk about very well-known Bedouin hospitality. And Bedouins, these are wanderers, and they will give you everything that they have. If they have one goat and a visitor comes, stranger, but they're a guest in their culture, and they would kill the goat for you. There could be abject poverty, but they'll go above and beyond their way. There's this real sense of hospitality. Their whole thinking is because they're a nomadic culture, wherever they go, it'll be given back to them in some way, not necessarily by the same person, but probably by someone else. And so you kind of understand the culture. And so, you know, having someone in your home was a really, really big deal. And then in this context of having someone in your home that was a house church, where a church was happening, I mean, it gets even bigger. And he says, and if you, when they come, don't even give them a greeting. In other words, don't endorse their ministry. Don't give them the pulpit, kind of in our modern age. Don't give them the opportunity to share and really speak forth their blasphemy or their heresy. And then John goes a step further and he says, in fact, you know, if you give them a greeting, you're participating in their evil deeds. Now, again, it's not like if you say hello to a witch doctor, then, you know, that's not what it's saying. But this idea of endorsing, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 gives us a little picture of what John is talking about through the words of Paul. In Ephesians 5, he talks about deception and these things. And then we'll pick up from verse 7. He says, therefore, do not be partakers with them. This is what he calls the sons of disobedience. You were formerly darkness, but now you are children of light. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And verse 11, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. So, Paul is telling us here that there is darkness. There are things going on. It's not good. You should not be a part of this, etc., etc., etc. And he says, don't even speak about these things that are going on, which kind of carries the same idea of John. Don't let it be spoken of. Make sure that this is something that is continues to be kept in secret, in hiding. See, there's this aspect in the church, and I'll just explain it, my role as a pastor and how this relates, that as a minister, we need to be very careful of who we put on the pulpit, that we need to be very aware and make sure the teaching is not only is biblical, but also aligns with what we believe as a congregation, kind of what our culture is. You know, every house has its own rules. So in our house, this is kind of how it's laid out. It's really important that the people that take this pulpit, that they're speaking truth, because there's an anointing when that happens. I'll tell you a crazy story, okay? I mean, it's a crazy story. There's this lady, and she was at Fuller Seminary during that time, and when I was going to school, and she has this incredible, incredible testimony. She actually used to be part of the Church of Satan. You know, I don't know, but they really exist. And there's a guy named Anton LaVey who ended up writing the Satanic Bible, and so it's a church, and they worship the devil, basically. And so she actually was an evangelist in the Church of Satan. Now, there are some reports, I don't know how accurate this is, there are some reports that Lady Gaga is also a disciple of this church. There are some evidence to say that Marilyn Manson is an evangelist in this Church of Satan, you know, trying to snatch kids. And I don't know, okay, I just throw that out there. But there is this church that exists. I mean, you can Google it if you don't believe me, and not that Google is the ultimate source of all truth, right? But it seems like it is now. So what she used to do and her job was that she was an evangelist, and she would travel with another evangelist, and they would go around churches all over the United States, and her job was to distract. And so this is how it worked out. They would be out in the foyer, you know, kind of how like today, and the speaker, who was actually a minister in the Church of Satan, would be on his way into the sanctuary, but she would stop him and say, oh, I'm so-and-so, you know, da-da-da. And basically they would be in the foyer. They would talk the whole time in the foyer because they didn't want to come in the sanctuary because they didn't want to be around worship. She said, it doesn't matter how dead the church is. It doesn't matter if they sang a cappella or they had a full band. It didn't matter. Any songs of praise going up to God, they couldn't stand it. And it kind of neutralized their power. So they would hang out in the foyer. Now, let me just throw something at you. For everyone who hangs out during the foyer, during, I'm serious, that hangs out in the foyer during service or comes late all the time, right, and doesn't want to participate in worship. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. You know, I'm not saying that you're a part of Church Satan, okay, or nothing like that, but there's probably some disconnect between your walk with Jesus. Almost guaranteed. And people don't want to come into worship. That's a whole other message another time. So what this lady does, she grabs this guy so he doesn't have to come in. It's an excuse for him not to come in. And as soon as the worship is over, then they'll walk in and they'll come and the pastor will invite them up to the pulpit. And they'll come up to the pulpit and they'll curse the church. They'll preach a very lukewarm message. In fact, a message that's very humanistic. You know, the power of man. You know, these type of things that you hear sometimes. The power of the human mind. You know, these kind of things. And they'll preach a very humanistic, very lukewarm message. And in that way, because now they've been given the authority of the pulpit, they curse the church. Well, she got saved, gave her life to the Lord. Actually, her life is in danger to this, you know, during that time. And what she was doing was she was going back to all those churches that she had come to, and she's been going back and doing repentance, you know, identification repentance to break the curse that's off of the church. It's amazing how these things work. I'll tell you. Here's another crazy story. So I took this class in seminary. It was called Spiritual Dynamics, and it was on prayer and spiritual warfare. And so we ended up visiting this one church out in the Hemet area, and this area in California was known as a very spiritual hotbed. I don't know if you remember way back then, there was the Rolls-Royce Maharishi, the yoga, not yoga, yogi, and this guy was a leader, and he basically had like a bunch of Rolls-Royces, so he was quite famous for that. This was his headquarters. Also, this was also the main headquarters for the Church of Scientology, because there's spiritual power in this region that's there. And, you know, they did all the tracing back, and the Indians were massacred in this area. So there's a lot of demonic power in this place. They started moving in, and Christians started really becoming aware of the spiritual dynamic in the place. And so one particular pastor was doing a lot of ministry, a lot of work with the gangs, because, you know, it's not such a good area. And so the gangs actually became quite favorable to this pastor. And so even the gangs were selling drugs and doing these things, they would actually protect the church that was in the neighborhood. And so people were coming and trying to do stuff. They would actually cordon off and protect the church. They noticed, these gang members noticed that every once in a while, there was some people that would climb the stair or the ladder to the church and up to the roof of the church. And the church at this time really wasn't growing. Now, there was a lot of discord. There was a lot of like elder fights and these kind of things. Even though the pastor was a good guy and he was trying to change the culture, something was happening in the church. Well, they end up finding out that the person that ended up going on top of the roof of the church actually was a prostitute. And she was kind of demonic. And so she put a mattress right over the pulpit of the church, and she would take her customers up to the roof of the church and do their business, and in essence trying to curse the church that's going on there. You know, obviously the gang members let them know, so they removed the mattress, they did repentance around the place, and church just started growing. I mean, it's just amazing. Revival started happening. And so, I mean, there's some value. I know those are crazy stories. Trust me, I wouldn't believe it myself if I wasn't there myself. You know, I mean, we actually visited this church and talked to its leaders and whatnot. But there's something about the power of the pulpit. You know, there's something about the anointing, you know, that God gives to the pulpit, which is, you know, the basically, in essence, the seat of authority in the body of Christ, in the church at this particular time. And so you have to be very aware of who you endorse, very aware of who you bring to share God's truth and share God's word. Not only should the minister, myself included, anyone else, come to the pulpit with fear and trembling, but we should all be very careful of who we endorse. In the same way, as he speaks to this particular woman, and it's a warning to her into the church, right? It says, if anyone comes to you, do not bring this teaching. This is verse 10. And does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house, and do not give him a greeting. For one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. And it's a kind of a really a dire warning. In other words, you connect yourself with the teaching that's going forth. And so John is saying, be careful. Be careful who you invite into your house. Now, in the context of house church, okay, this being the sanctuary in the city at the time that she was leading, and so be careful who you bring into your house and be careful who you endorse, who you give that greeting to. And if you do that, in other words, they are given that opportunity, right, then you join with their evil works. And so it's a dire warning. So you think, like, why did John write this? I mean, this is crazy. You know, one chapter, is it relevant? Yeah, it's relevant when you understand the context. And he's John the elder now, you know, in his last days, he's really trying as best as possible to protect the church, to protect the body that's going on at this time, in particular in this chosen lady and her house church and all that's happening there. And it's a warning. It's an appeal to her that says, hey, be very aware. Not only, now, to point out falsely, not only should you know the right doctrines, in other words, you should know the truth, and this is really important for many of us because, you know, I mean, there's things that could be said, but because if we don't know the truth, we're like, oh, yeah, okay, that sounds pretty good. That sounds a bit accurate and whatnot. We were in Beijing this past week. Thank you for your prayers. We had an incredible retreat. Really, God has moved quite powerfully during the time. And I was talking with one of the leaders there, and we're talking about this particular ministry that's been coming into Beijing, and they're very, very anti-charismatic. And so they've actually been telling people not to come to SP. And I was like, what's up with that, you know? And so in any case, so there's drama, all right? And so one of the leaders was telling me about one of the guys that he's been reaching out to that comes to the SP Beijing once in a while, but he's been reaching out to this person. And then he's been also in connection with this other person who's been saying, don't, you know, da-da-da. And this leader is saying it's so back and forth. You know, so the SP leader will share something about God, Holy Spirit, you know, and then the person, because he has no clue what's going on, he'll go and he'll tell this leader, but he'll twist everything around because he doesn't know doctrine. He doesn't know the truth. And so he'll go to this other pastor, this other leader, and the other leader will say, that's heresy. That's heretical teaching, da da da. And so then he'll go back to our leader at SP Beijing and say, hey, this is da. And then the person will say, no, that's not what I said. This is actually da da da. And then he'll go back, oh, no, they're not heretics. This is actually, you know, they believe the same thing you believe, and, you know, so on and so forth. And it's like this drama going back and forth. And simply because the individual doesn't know truth. He himself doesn't know the doctrine. So easily tossed by waves to and fro. That's what Paul talks about. And so for us, you know, to be aware of false teaching, guess what? You should be aware of proper teaching. I mean, that's the best antidote for it all. It's this whole idea of counterfeit money. You know, the Canadian Rockies, if you took EG, you remember this story. In Canada, the way they teach their police officers about counterfeit bills is what they do. They don't study counterfeit bills. They study real bills. And they study it so much that they can easily spot a counterfeit, right, without really going through any lessons or classes. And I think that's a good word for us. They know the real thing, the genuine article, so well that when anything false comes their way, they spot it very, very easily, very, very quickly. And so for us as well, it'd be important for us as a church, as individuals, as followers of Jesus on the way, that you know what truth is. You know proper Orthodox Christian doctrine. And that you absorb yourself in that, and not so that you can be smart and feel like you're better than other people, because I know a lot of people do that. That's what we call Bibleologists, right? They just like to absorb the Bible so they can beat people up with the Bible. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that you can be aware when false truth comes in, when there's heresy or doctrine that's not orthodox, that kind of leads people astray, you're aware because you know the truth. I think it's very important. And so John goes out of his way to write to some random lady, right, that you know, that cousins have gone together, he knows their kids. He actually doesn't even know this lady. I don't think he's ever really met this person, because he says later on that he'd like to go and fellowship, but yet knowing through kids and knowing through his sister. But it's so important for him to write this little blurb, because the issue here is, hey, be aware of false teaching. He's looking at this young, pristine church, and he recognizes you can very, very easily lose your way or lose your vision or get sidetracked by welcoming in kind of teaching that's not very truthful. And so he sends this word out. Okay, so let's close our eyes today. As we meditate on John's simple yet powerful letter, when we talk about truth, in essence, doctrine, this particular heresy that was coming out that John is referring to is talking about the humanity of Christ, the sole focus on his divinity that they forgot his humanity, which plays huge ramifications for us in our faith. That Jesus Christ came in the flesh, his incarnation. And so as a follower of Jesus, do you have a good grasp of truth? Now, with this in mind, I'll set this caveat. On this side of heaven, no one has perfect theology, okay? In fact, James says the demons know and they shudder. Only the demons have perfect theology on this side of heaven. And so we approach the scriptures with humility. But in that same sense, the Holy Spirit living in us can reveal truth to us and bring us into a fairly good understanding. Are you giving yourself to the Word of God to understand truth? Now let the Holy Spirit speak to us this morning and just interact with Him on that regard.
Saints and angels.
Day and night and
day let incense rise. Day and night 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 day let incense rise to you. Day and night day let incense rise. Day and night day let incense rise. All the saints and angels bow before your throne, and all the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing, "You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Let's pray. Let's ask God to reveal truth into our hearts. Let's ask God to give us the strength and the energy to give ourselves to the Word, to God's truth in our lives. And not only that we be readers of it or hearers of it, that we be doers of God's Word. If it was important for John to write this simple letter, I think it's important for us to receive its message. Let's pray. Ask God to open up your schedule. Open up your heart. And I think we have time. Let's ask God to really speak to us about the way that we do spend our time, that we do spend some time developing our knowledge of His truth. Let's pray this morning. Go to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for our community, our friends that are been contracted with cancer. Let's pray for God's healing word Let's pray for that encouragement to come over their lives and over their family, that they would be strengthened by His Word. Oh, let's just lift up. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for those that are ill, but that need to meet Jesus. Let's pray that the truth of God will just invade their hearts. Let's lift up. Let's pray for others that are battling various non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our friends that are looking for work. Let's pray God open doors for them, and that the encouragement of God would come in this season of their life. Let's pray. So our mission prayer focus, let's pray for our local ministries today. Let's pray for local churches, pray for international churches, ethnic churches all over Hong Kong this morning. Let's pray for YWAM Hong Kong, Sports Services, Shanty, Masters Beauty, Red Light District Outreach. Let's pray for Jimmy Stewart, Face to Face, and Feed the Hungry and CSW. Let's pray for these ministries that minister here in Hong Kong, that God would use them and God would bless them, provide for them, and they would just really make an incredible impact in people's lives here in Hong Kong. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our missions committee, Pastor Eugene, Jamie, John, Sarah, Jisun, and Kiwan. Let's pray as they pray for the church and for our missions concerns. And let's pray for wisdom, that they make decisions, where to put our resources, our human resources, and our financial resources. And so just cover them right now. Let's pray for local outreach. Pray for our community center in Siang Pun, Igape, the English and Computer School, homeless ministries, the SP Lights, and our prison ministry. Let's pray that we continue to gather more volunteers and people would go and serve and just really grow as a result of their serving and their giving. And let's pray. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the government. Pray for the wealth gap. Pray that a revival come in this city, that this place would be a city on a hill and a light to China. And let's just cover its people and just ask for God's hand to be upon this country. Let's pray for our activities going on tonight. Pray for McCain House Church. Pray for the intercessory prayer meeting going on tonight, and college group, and also the river. Encourage you guys to come out and worship the Lord freely. Let's just pray for all the leaders that are leading these ministries and the volunteers and people that are coming out to pray and seek God's face. And let's pray for an anointing tonight. Let's pray that people would come, would just really receive something so precious from God and would just fall in love with them more and more. And let's just pray for all the activities going on tonight at church. And lastly, can I invite you to pray for the men's and women's retreats? The men's retreat, we're leaving tomorrow morning. Pray that God would just move powerfully among us. Women's retreat is next week. This Sunday, the ladies will be here alone. Pray for an amazing time of service for both sexes. And let's just lift up. Thank you, Lord, this morning. We thank you for the reminder, God, that we need to be in the Word, Lord. A reminder that we need to understand truth, God, and be able to dispense truth to others, Lord, but also be able to defend ourselves against, God, heresy, Lord, against things that are not according to your will and your purposes. And so I pray that you would equip us, God, each one of us, Lord, even today, Father. Lord, watch over us the rest of this day. Help us to give all the glory to your Son, Jesus, and all that we do and think and act, Lord. We bless you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Have a great day today. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you tomorrow morning.